This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, Senator Barack Obama reverses an earlier pledge and decides not to accept public campaign funds. He'll pay for the general election campaign with private donations instead. Also, the House reaches a delicate compromise on warrantless wiretapping. And John McCain joins President Bush in calling for an end to the ban on offshore oil drilling. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And to this disagreement, or different opinions about public financing and Senator Obama's decision to opt out of it. Last year, he said, I'll work with the Republican nominee to have a publicly financed campaign.
Right.
Has what's changed as simple as he has more money than anybody's ever raised for a
presidential campaign before? Well, he says that the public financing law doesn't work very well and it's too easily evaded and there should be a revision of it. But it also is clear he's been getting millions and millions of dollars and may end up with getting a total of perhaps $500 million in donations. And if you can get that kind of money just from $50 and $25 at a time, you really don't need it. And so having decided that he doesn't need it, he's opted out of it, which gives him a monetary advantage over his opponent.
Now, Senator McCain, as we speak, says that he'll stand by his pledge and accept public financing. He
yes.
thinks it's a matter, says it's a matter of trust. Do you foresee this becoming a campaign issue beyond this week?
Well, let's remember how the public financing law came about. This is a post-Watergate reform. If I can take you back a few years, we were learning that President Nixon was getting secret contributions from Howard Hughes, who was a big defense contractor, that you could buy an ambassadorship for $250,000. And it was because of how disgusting that was that this law was passed. Mm-hmm. So that if you now are the first major candidate, as Obama is, to opt out of that, the question is one of symbolism. If this is to be the symbol of decent and fair kind of spending of money and you opt out of it, that can't be good for your image.
Speaking of which, the Obama campaign came under some criticism. Front page article in the New York Times this week for trying to craft its image. They were accused of actually outright deceiving the press at one point,
right.
bringing them back to Chicago when he was meeting with Hillary Clinton in Washington. And then there were two Muslim women in headscarves who say that they were moved from seats right behind the senator at one of his appearances.
In Detroit, that
in
was,
Detroit,
yes.
Presumably because they were wearing headscarves, that the senator called up to apologize.
Well, this is, once again, the whole manipulation of image. There have been some fears on the part of the supporters of Obama that maybe he was too pro-Muslim, that he wasn't sufficiently sold on Israel and so on. And they've been very sensitive to that. So if he saw himself there and the cameras showed over his shoulder two women in scarves who therefore must be Muslim, ooh, let's get rid of that. There is an awful tendency to overdo fear of little symbolic things that may hurt you. And this is one of them. Turns out it bounced back at him.
House representatives reached a compromise on a war funding bill this week. What's in it? What's not in it?
What's in it is $160 billion to fight two wars for another year or so. Also in it, and this was resisted for some time by the administration, there is several million dollars for educational benefits for returned war veterans. The president didn't like it, but apparently he's going to have to buy it.
And the House reached another compromise on warrantless wiretapping.
That's right. Yeah, that was one that was very hard to get through because it was a question of American liberty, American privacy involved. They finally worked it out. The Democrats conceded some. The Republicans conceded some. There's a very complicated arrangement by which if you go for wiretapping, you can do it without court order, but then you got to go and get a court order. And they worked it out. It was one of those typical muddy compromises, but it is a compromise and apparently is working.
The president this week encouraged Congress to lift the ban on offshore oil drilling. Senator McCain says that he's now in favor of it, but he's still not in favor of drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. He says the technology has changed since the ban prohibition went in, and it's much safer. Do you see this becoming a campaign issue?
Again, it's political imagery. If you were to start today drilling for oil somewhere off Florida, it would be 10 years before you would see any oil. Americans are very upset now by the price of fuel today. And to say, hang on, we'll get you more oil 10 years from now, doesn't really make much sense. But it's a headline. President says we're going to drill in Alaska for oil and we will have oil one of these days. The interesting thing is that it was Bush's father who signed the executive order banning offshore and his brother who fiercely opposed drilling off Florida. So.
But, you know, the argument is the technology has changed and it's much safer and that oil rigs went through Hurricane Katrina.
And all of that, but it still takes 10 years before you can find and develop the oil.
This week there was a ceasefire announced between Hamas and Israel, went into effect. Egypt was the mediator. Do you see it lasting past the time we're off the air? I'm sorry to treat it trivia.
Keep your fingers crossed. It is at least one of the very, very few favorable things to come out of the Middle East. The fact that maybe Hamas feels now it has to get the Israelis to lift their embargo on Gaza. You stop sending rockets and we will stop going in and killing some of your people. It's lasted for a short time. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Dan Shore.
My pleasure.